you in the 06010. Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy Focus.
Welcome to the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast, presented by Geico. Field, Matthew Daniel, and we try to give the people what they want, which, you know, we are invoking the rule. Invoking the rule of Jalen Rose and Dave Jacoby.
No, what the people want is Jalen and Jacoby. They've tuned in and they're like, where's Jalen and Jacoby? We love those guys. What are these two Jamokes doing on my screen?
Well, if it's not Jalen and Jacoby, we do have a nice consolation prize, because today, on this episode of the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast, it is a day starring none other than Stefania Bell. We'll have a ton
of injuries. Stefania Bell.
An aptly named Stefania Bell will be the focus of today's show. Hello to you, Stefania.
You will shine brighter today than you ever have before, and that's saying something, given how bright your star normally shines.
We did not know that was even possible, but obviously with the NFL season just 8 days away, look at her smiling.
Yeah. Sun's out, guns out for Stefania Bell.
It's a day that ends in Y, right. So of course, you know,
100%.
Naturally.
You bet.
We'll have lots of Stefania throughout the show as we'll get into all of the notable injuries that Stefania has information on leading into the season, Matthew.
And, yes, sir.
It's a busy draft week. It's September 2nd. This week marks the busiest transaction week of the year in the NFL.
And may I just say,
please. I'm not sure.
To sign up for free at ESPN.com, can I just be a company man here for a second?
Sure.
Oh, I hit the button. So, Earl, we got to pull the sounders back up. Here we go. I'm going to do it again. Three, two, one, go.
There you go. Thank you, Earl, for pulling the sounders back up. No thanks to Secret Squirrel for taking two times to do what he does every day of his life. But what I would say here, Field Yates, is that, you know, I sent out an email league that you and I are in an email in a league together, and I sent an email last night saying, like, hey, are we doing this league? Like, I have felt like that. No, in fairness, I was in 16 leagues last year, but I'm going to play at the moment in less leagues than I did last year.
Yeah, same here.
And so I just I think the season has sort of snuck up on some people. So start another league, play for free at ESPN.com, you know, do a mock draft, like, have some fun is all I'm going to say here. It's just, you know, company man.
Right. And every year, for those that don't know, I write a big lengthy piece during the offseason overviewing breakout candidates going into their second season. I always end that piece by saying, here's my ask of you. Invite one person who's ever played fantasy football.
You do this.
You play fantasy football for the first time this year. I would recommend you going and reading that piece. Some call it the best piece that ESPN puts out each year on ESPN.com.
I actually heard that Haley Burns, who works in the control room, reached out to you, Field, and said she would be your one person who would play fantasy football for the first time.
You're dirty. You guys are doing me dirty.
No.
Is what it is.
What are you talking about?
I want everyone to know that, like, what Field's referencing is what I put at the end of my draft day manifesto, and I want you to know that we're doing a league of the show, and Haley Burns is my one person. Haley Burns reached out to me, and I get credit for Haley Burns.
Wait, when did
that happen?
How do you get credit for that?
Yeah.
I have a text exchange with Haley Burns saying, I want to be in a league this year. And I said, I will hook you up in a league this year. And the league is drafting at 1:00 today.
Haley Burns,
I demand credit for Haley Burns today.
She took to Twitter to outline some of her thoughts. And Haley is from the great country of New Zealand.
Yes, she is.
And she's thinking about drafting only players who hail from New Zealand, which, if I'm not mistaken, I think that's like Jared Haynes, the former Jets running back. Other than that, I'm not sure of too many. Maybe Steven Adams could get a couple of reps
at
tight end for the Saints this year. We shall find out soon.
Anyway.
Stefania has something she wants to say before we get to news and noise. Stefania, what happened?
That's right. I want to remind everyone that we said that Matthew would have to perform the haka for Haley. And I think since she's going to join our league, Matthew has to follow up on his end and deliver a performance of the haka.
I will absolutely perform the haka if someone will explain to me what the haka is.
Okay, so I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Matthew, aware? If only there was this, there's this tool. It's called the internet. You can actually
hang on, how do you
things
spell
up
that?
Like videos.
Oh, hold on, gosh. How do you spell that? So, I'm going to go to my library and look up the internet. Tell me how to explain it.
YouTube.com.
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 Isn't there an E?
Yeah, that's what I said. I said E, yes.
I said TUB.com. I swear to God, he did not say YouTube. I don't think they roll back the tape. I literally don't think.
I don't know.
I think he misspelled YouTube.
We'll find out very shortly.
Yeah. Why don't we do some football stuff, guys?
Okay, good thought. Let's get out of this. We're getting in trouble.
I'm on the MySpace. All right, go ahead.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
News or noise?
Loud
wow.
noises!
That was actually an attempt at a joke by Matthew, but he literally is on MySpace. You're the last remaining user.
Me and Justin Timberlake.
Him and Tom are still going strong.
Him and Tom.
That's so good.
Snap face.
I miss Tom.
I know, right?
He's very friendly.
He was always a great guy.
His little back to the blackboard or whatever.
Always great. Yeah, great. Let's do some news or noise here.
Sir.
Alvin Kamara returned to practice. I'm going to start with Stefania, though, because Stefania, did I see correctly on the internet, as you called it, that he potentially had an epidural before coming back to practice? Can you tell me any more about this epidural that Alvin Kamara may or may not have had?
Pellicero of NFL Network, when talking about the fact that Alvin Kamara had been away from the Saints for a few days, and of course there was a lot of talk about the contract situation with Kamara going on, and he mentioned that while he was away, he got an epidural injection in his spine, and that he had to lay low for a few days, but that he'd be back at practice today. And I was like, you know, I know people are paying attention to all the contract talks, but this seems like kind of a big deal to me. It's not every day you get an injection into your spine. And typically, these are done when you have radiating pain related to a nerve irritation, for example. Sometimes it's for back pain, but typically it's for pain that involves a nerve. And to me, that says, what's going on here? And what can we expect when he comes back? This is not a small thing to me. And I was totally prepared to defend Kamara's health in terms of the recovery from the knee issue that bothered him last year. But a back issue, potentially 2 weeks before the season starts, that required an injection concerns me quite a bit more.
Okay.
So the question becomes, Stefania, always, I always ask you this, will you draft Alvin Kamara in the first five picks? You have pick four in our War Room League draft. If some version of CMC, Saquon, and Zeke go in the first three picks, will you take Alvin Kamara at four? That's my question to you.
So my two choices are Kamara and Cook, and we've obviously got concerns with both related to the contract. But I would actually go Dalvin Cook right now over Alvin Kamara, given this I don't have enough information on it. I need to know that he is not dealing with something that's going to linger into the season.
By the way, I'm just real quickly, because I think this is important, and this is a big decision. So that's my other question for you, Stefania, is you have other choices, right? So I want to play a very quick name game here with you. So Alvin Kamara or Clyde Edwards-Helaire at four?
Helaire.
Okay. Alvin Kamara or Derrick Henry at four, if you had to draft tonight?
Probably going Derrick Henry.
Okay. Alvin Kamara or Michael Thomas at four, if you had to draft tonight?
Alvin Kamara.
Okay.
Ooh, interesting.
So there you go. And the last one for me then.
Because I'll give you my rationale, because if those are my only two choices, I'm going to take the running back with a little bit of a gamble, because I know I've got so many options at wide receiver.
100%. But I think that's helpful for listeners and viewers right now, because you were a longtime fantasy player, obviously, and you're also obviously risk averse when you draft, especially early and especially with injuries. So I think, because so much of the talk was about the contract and the holdout and the potential trade, that the epidural story sort of went under the radar, and that's what's giving you pause here. And so I think that's important to sort of underline that if you had a draft tonight and you had pick four, you would drop him down to probably running back six or seven.
It also makes me wonder, guys, if they were fairly close on money, was there a health situation that was going on that was the difference maker in all of this? I mean, this is why the next couple of days of news here are very important.
Yeah, so there is a huge other side of this, Matthew, which I know that Stefania just referenced right there. And Alvin Kamara, as we have known, wants a new contract. He's eligible for an extension. If you haven't noticed, other running backs have gotten extensions this offseason or that were drafted the same year as Alvin Kamara. Christian McCaffrey, Derrick Henry got a four-year, $50 million extension. Yeah, Joe Mixon got one yesterday. We'll talk about that in just a minute.
I've heard of all those guys.
Yeah. So I think this one, it's news for now, right?
Sure.
But the news part to me is the contract.
Interesting.
That's the news part.
So you're dismissing the epidural. You don't have a concern about
that. Well, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves in the segment, but I know everybody, yourself included, references on Twitter yesterday. Joe Mixon was dealing with migraines. And it turns out he was dealing with migraines because he had a headache from counting all of his millions.
Sure.
Right? $48 million extension. All of a sudden, he's back. He's good. He's healthy, right?
Yeah.
Alvin Kamara, this whole thing has not passed the smell test, but it's all because of the contract, Matthew. Like, I get, like, he was fine, all of training camp. And then all of a sudden, he's not fine. You know why? Because 2 weeks before the season begins, he has no new contract. So I tend to think the bulk of, this is my opinion, and it's, you know, this is not fully based on reporting. This is also based on instincts, is that this is one that a new contract makes everything good and groovy. And as a result of that, as I mentioned earlier this week on the podcast, is that we haven't reached where I think we've reached with Dalvin Cook in regards to Alvin Kamara. And what I mean by that is that
we've already reached
the goal line with Dalvin Cook, and then we started going backwards. So I think Alvin Kamara, like, we're at a critical mass spot, and I'm just not as concerned about it.
Well, look, and I said this yesterday.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, what do you got, Stefania?
Here's my response to that field, which is, if it were something like a hamstring or some minor soft tissue injury they were passing off, I might agree with you. But to get an epidural injection, I mean, that's a procedure that's typically done under, you know, guided injection. You're not just doing it randomly. Like, there are a lot of indications as to why you would or would not do it. So to me, it is a little bit more significant.
I don't know. I just, again, this is just instincts here. But he went from having the stomach bug, to the contract, to the epidural. This feels, and again, maybe I'm way off. I am just, my own instincts tend to think that maybe, like, this gets resolved with a new contract.
Fanya, what was his injury last year? He missed a couple games when Latavius Murray went off, and I can't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah, that was, he had a sprained MCL, and part of the issue was that he tried to come back and play through it, and he was never quite up to his pre-injury self.
Okay.
All right. Well,
I think to put a bow on this real quickly, there are questions around Alvin Kamara, whether you believe it's contract related, whether Stefania's point, like an epidural. I kind of lean more towards Stefania here, and not just because I like her more than you, but
it's always a good
strategy. With her. I'm like an epidural ain't just some sort of, like, I'm not accusing Joe Mixon of faking the migraines, but I mean, my point is that if you were going to hold out, if just a player in general is going to hold out for quote unquote injury related reasons, mm-hmm. you know, that were really a, feels like it's just like, I'm with Stefania. It feels like you could do a little bit, you know, I'm sore. Even my back is sore. But to go through the whole process of getting an epidural, understand, obviously, like, you know, I saw my wife get an epidural, right? When we had our daughter. So I don't, it's a whole thing.
Sure.
And,
this is an agree to disagree situation, right? Okay. And so, and from a draft strategy standpoint, which, as we are in the midst of draft season, I have not yet moved him out of my rankings from running back 4. But as I discussed with Dalvin Cook, you know, if you're sitting there and you just went through this exercise with Stefania, if you're trying to avoid risk right now, then the play is CMC, Saquon, Zeke. And then you introduce Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Derrick Henry, and Michael Thomas. And if you're not as worried about it, then you stick to your board. And my board goes Kamara first and then Dalvin Cook.
Which is fair. And by the way, if you did that, what I would do is I would 6th round, 7th round, I don't care if I'm overpaying by a round or two, I want Latavius Murray. And people have different philosophies on insurance. But for me, we know that role, starting running back for Sean Payton's offense, is very fantasy productive, and I am willing to use a roster spot to lock up that production because I've just made a huge investment there. The one thing I did say on yesterday on the podcast when we brought up this, and I said this on Twitter when the reports came out that the Saints were looking to trade him, and you know that this was all contract related, is what I said, is like, look, the Saints have a very narrow window to win a Super Bowl. Drew Brees is 40 years old. They have come very close the last couple of years, some bad officiating. You know, the fact is that they think, rightfully so, that they are legit Super Bowl contenders, and they have a better chance at winning the Super Bowl this year in what is potentially Drew Brees' final season with Alvin Kamara on the team than with him out, without him. So I think more likely than not, something gets done there, and Alvin is back with the Saints.
All right, really quick on this one. The aforementioned Joe Mixon signs a 4-year, $48 million contract extension. I'll start with Matthew Berry. News or noise on this?
This is news, and for me, I think this vaults Joe Mixon up to the next running back, the start of the next tier. So we just talked about, right, you know, the big three. Then you've got Cook and Kamara and Henry and CEH.
Yep.
the running back, when my updated rankings come out later today, the next running back on my list will be Joe Mixon. And I would put him ahead of Michael Thomas in my overall ranks, which is not where he is right now if you look. So he is now, he's going to play. You don't pay that guy to make him a two-down back. He's going to be a three-down back. He's going to be a workhorse here. He is somebody that gets a tremendous amount of volume. I think he is a talented player. He's averaging almost 20 touches a game. He was great down the stretch, and I believe that offense field will be a lot better this year with A.J. Green back, with Joe Burrow under center. You know, they get Jonah Williams back, the first-round pick from last year. That he the offensive line should be improved from last year, and I think, once again, the defense will be bad. And he's not a guy that comes off on third down,
yeah,
generally speaking. So I think he is among the safer guys after you get past the tier that I just talked about.
I have nothing else to add. I feel the same way. Daniel, let's move along.
Okay. J.K. Dobbins will have a, quote, significant role in 2020. Field Yates, news or noise? Because we've had a lot of J.K. Dobbins conversation on this podcast.
It's noise. You know why?
Because we already
knew this.
That. Yeah.
Right.
Like, what is this? Who is this surprising to? I love the quote, and I'm fired up that he has met expectations. But, like, if J.K. Dobbins had gone 20th in the NFL draft, no one would have been surprised. So a guy who goes 50th in the NFL draft to the best running team in football,
yeah,
is expected to have a significant role. I'm like, yeah, as expected. We talked about the Ravens draft strategy yesterday that, like, even though we have Mark Ingram ranked higher than J.K. Dobbins, it's very possible that a lot of people who play in a lot of leagues will have much more exposure to J.K. Dobbins. He could steal this job by the middle of the season. I don't think it'll be at the beginning of the season.
No,
but
it won't.
Ultimately, if you're a team that needs to win, I think he is a better talent overall. This could be like what happened with Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara when they played together for two seasons in New Orleans.
Right.
Mark Ingram's going to have a role, but Alvin Kamara is still going to be a fantasy rock star.
You know what the JK stands for? Just crushing.
I feel like we need to work on your spelling. Crushing. Is that like,
when, oh,
we put
K? Also, hey.
Also your comedy.
Yes. Hey-o!
I'm going to workshop both. So it's YOUTUBE.
Okay, the next one is Jonathan Taylor.
TUBE. Got it. Is it at
www.http://?
https.
All right, Daniel, one more.
Jonathan Taylor is a, quote, candidate to contribute in the passing game this season via The Athletic's Stephen Holder. Matthew Berry, is that news or noise?
I think that's noise. You know, like, how significantly would he be involved in the passing game? The concern on Taylor isn't the talent, it's the role. Everything you're hearing, you're also hearing that Marlon Mack's going to have a big role in this offense, that it's still, that he's still the starter. And you're also hearing, by the way, oh, Nyheim Hines, like, every single play, Phillip Rivers is checking down to Nyheim Hines. Like, there's so many different reports coming out of Indianapolis. The fact is that until Jonathan Taylor emerges, like, I think he's the superior talent in that backfield. And like when we're talking about Dobbins, I think eventually this will be his backfield and he's just going to be too good to deny. But until that happens, it's going to be a three-headed monster there in Indianapolis. And so, because they like Hines and they like Mack, and they're not worried about our needs in fantasy football.
Yeah,
So I think this is noise.
I agree. This is not a slight, Stephen Holder's a friend and a good reporter, but if you just parse the words, a candidate to contribute in the passing game, like, there's a lot of qualifiers there, right? Like, he might possibly make an impact in the passing game. So I think there's just, it doesn't necessarily cement the idea that he could wind up being 30 catches this season. So I think it's noise as well. We still like the player, and we still think that his value has not altered since the beginning of the preseason. All right, Matthew, you're torn for a live read.
Ooh. Sweet. Did you know that right now, Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? Yes, that's 15% on top of the money Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your dog to do a mock draft with you while wearing a Fantasy Life t-shirt?
Ooh.
Come on. As nice as that sounds, that's probably never going to happen. But at least there's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. That's the deadline, October 7th. You got to switch by then to save the extra 15%. Visit geico.com to learn more.
Hey, Matthew. When
hey,
it comes
what?
To scoring great hires for your business, you may be up against some obstacles, like lots of applicants, but difficulty finding the right ones for your job. or finding time to hire while running your business, plus trying to ensure workplace safety. That's why you need ZipRecruiter on your team. No matter the industry, healthcare to manufacturing to business services, ZipRecruiter makes hiring faster and easier. And now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. First, when you post a job on ZipRecruiter, it gets sent out to over 100 top job sites. Then ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology hustles for you to find people with the right experience for your job and invites them to apply. In fact, check out this stat. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So add ZipRecruiter to your roster to help you win the hiring game. To try ZipRecruiter for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. She's not a coach. She's your favorite gal.
She's Stephanie Bell. It's never not funny to me. I always love it. Thank you to Chip and Kit for their great musical contributions to the show. It's time now for...
Can I tell you that this weekend... I forget how it came up, but I was with some extended family, and I had to explain to them why Stefania is or is not a cone, and just how that all started. And it was like, I mean, like, you should have seen the looks on their faces. Like, I'm just trying to explain it. And then she said she wasn't a cone, and then fans started sending in pictures of seeing her, which were traffic cones, and it started as an ice cream cone, and it's the dumbest thing of all time.
What did that look like, Matthew, when you were explaining that?
It was very, honestly, what it was is, like, if you could see, imagine everyone looking at me just going, like.
Yeah, that seems about right. That seems about right.
That sounds like what probably most of your days at home would look like. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot of that.
Shot?
Yeah.
What kind of shots?
Tequila, mostly.
Anytime, Matthew.
Can we do that on this show?
Is
it like, you know, I think mostly, because I don't remember, because there are so many of them. Imbibing 20 Don Julio.
A lot of shots.
Yeah.
The kind of shots where you start talking about why Stefania is or not, or is or is not a cone.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, we head now once again to the Chateau de Cone.
Yes, that's right. Well done by
where
you.
Where our very own star Fania Bell is hanging out. Talking up ZipRecruiter, and has lots and lots of injuries to get into.
Let's start right close to home. Stefania is at home, so let's start close to home. Stefania, a pair of 49ers wide receivers are dealing with injuries. What's the latest on Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk, their second of 2 first-round picks?
Well, back in June, when Deebo Samuel got hurt and he suffered a Jones fracture and had to have surgery, the original timetable was about 10 to 12 weeks. And I expected that the 49ers would play it cautious with him, just knowing the way that he plays and knowing the risk for re-injury goes down with every single week that you wait to bring these guys back. But... lo and behold, Deebo Samuel is doing really well, not only running in a straight line, but doing lots of cutting, sharp planting and pivoting and impressing the 49ers with how good he looks. And now I'm hearing rumblings that there's a chance that he could be available week one. Now, he might not be. He might not be put on the PUP list and still not play until week 2, week 3. But I think there's definitely a conversation about him coming back before the 6 weeks that we thought he'd be out if they placed him on PUP. Obviously, Brandon Ayuk went down with a hamstring injury just over a week ago, and he's still recovering from that. Not clear when exactly he'll be ready to return. The 49ers are a bit thin at wide receiver, and I think they'd be excited if they could get Deebo back. I will say this. Even if he plays week 1, I don't think he plays a full complement of snaps, and I think they're going to be guarded with how they use him, knowing that this first 6 weeks or so is a little bit of sort of seeing how his foot would respond to action.
And how about Brandon Ayuk, Stefania?
Oh, well, I threw him in there, Field, but I'll say it again.
Sorry, that was very Matthew Berry of me. Sorry, I was so focused.
Wait a minute. I'm just sitting here minding my own business, dealing with Daniel Dopp on other podcast-related issues, and you know what?
I thought that what happened was she was going to double back to him because we went Deebo Samuel and then Brandon Ayuk. Let's keep going here with Deebo Samuel. Yeah. I think the one that's most important here, Stefania and Matthew, is Deebo Samuel. Yeah. So you hear the chance that he might play as soon as week 1, but it may not be his full complement of snaps, Matthew. He's a player that rose high in rankings during the offseason and then obviously cratered when the news of the Jones injury broke. So where do you level set with Deebo Samuel? Yeah, what point is he of value?
So I am at wide receiver 42 right now, but he he's going to rise up
right
when I do my rankings update. And he's currently being drafted as wide receiver 36 in the 10th round, which I also think is amazing value.
Mm.
I think that's amazing. Listen, I think he's a special player. And the question only was health. And I think in addition to being a special player, he's going to be the number one option on that offense among wide receivers. Kittle's still the number one, but I think he could compete with George Kittle certainly over the second half of the year in terms of target share in that passing offense. It's still going to be a run-heavy offense, but they are going to throw. So, yeah, I mean, I think he is right there in that, you know, somewhere in that 28 to 34 range.
Sure.
Right? Okay. Again, because wide receiver is so deep. But just thinking about the guys that are going in that range, the Marvin Joneses of the world, the Marquise Browns of the world, I think he's right there in sort of that range for me.
Let's go back to Stefania for Tyrell Williams, a team that formerly also played in the Bay Area. What do we know about Tyrell, Stefania?
Well, he's going to be placed on injured reserve and his season is over. Originally, when he hurt his shoulder, we heard that he had a torn labrum and he was going to rehab and try and play through it. And this is something that he did before when he was with the Chargers. He injured his opposite shoulder, did play despite the labral tear, and then had surgery later. But it's a good reminder that not all injuries are created equal. And for whatever the factors were that made him realize it would be better to get taken care of now, that's what he's going to do. So no Tyrell Williams this season.
No Tyrell this year. And I'll keep this simple, Matthew, because I know that we discussed this maybe a week or so ago on the podcast, is that basically the Raiders have like three or four late-round flyers for the bucket amongst their wide receiver group. And I think I'm going to just end up back on Henry Ruggs, who was their 12th overall pick this year. And I understand that Bryan Edwards has been the one making some more splash plays in training camp.
He's the buzzy guy.
I just wonder, though, like, sometimes we need to not overthink this. One of them ran one of the fastest 40s we've seen from a wide receiver in a decade. One of the most explosive players in the draft. Incredible vertical threat who can also be utilized a la Deebo Samuel as sort of a jet sweep specialist with the Raiders. I'm still banking on Henry Ruggs as my favorite late round flyer amongst the Raiders.
That's fine. It's fair. I feel like this is going to be one of those wide receiver by committee kind of deals where, because I do think Edwards gets some run. I think Hunter Renfro gets some run. I think Darren Waller obviously is going to be heavily involved in their passing game. I think Lynn Bowden is going to be used in a variety of sort of ways. I think that it's one of those things where you're just going to be like, it makes sense from Las Vegas's point of view, right? But that it doesn't necessarily translate into someone that you can start that has consistent fantasy value. That Henry Ruggs, as a rookie, and sort of just how his game, I think, will translate, at least initially, will be, you know, sort of boom or bust. Like, he'll have a couple of splashy games where he has a big play and, you know, he has like a 70-yard touchdown. Fair enough. But, like, I think there's also going to be like some 3 for 50s in there.
Sure. I think my point was that it's unlikely more than one Raiders wide receiver sticks as a weekly value. And right, that's why I end up on Henry Ruggs. I just think this talent is most special, even if it's a 25% chance.
I'm with you there. I'm saying I think it's unlikely that anyone sticks. That's
correct.
What I'm saying. I'm
not saying if it's 25% chance. I'm just saying if I had to pick one. All right, Stefania, right back
fair
to
enough.
You. And A.J. Green, one of the most injured players in the NFL over the past two seasons amongst fantasy superstars. How about going into 2020?
I like A.J. Green coming into this season. Obviously, he missed all of last year with an ankle issue, and I don't know that I would say that the ankle is completely healthy. I mean, he's an aging receiver. There may be times where it flares up and bothers him, but he's got perhaps the most diligent work ethic of anyone when it comes to rehab, and he's certainly shown he can come back from major injuries. He did have a little hamstring issue. They called it a tweak. I think it was very mild that cropped up during training camp time. But he wanted to come back to practice the next day. It was Zach Taylor who kept him out. So A.J. Green really is healthy. They're preserving him for the season. I like him this year.
All right, Stefania, I'll say what I have said many times on this podcast this season, is that I think he's going to wind up being a value. I'm betting on the talent here. I've mentioned how last year was different. This year, from a contract standpoint, A.J. Green, 31 years old, needs a great year to get that one last contract that I'm sure he deserves and believes he deserves. He's got to stay healthy. He's got to perform. I've got him as a mid-tier wide receiver 3. I understand if you're avoiding him, but I think I am in. I'm not out. I'm in on A.J. Green.
He's going as wide receiver 29 in the ninth round. The risk is baked into his ADP.
Stefania, same state, Ohio, a different team, the Browns. They've got a pair of wide receivers who have been banged up. What do you know about OBJ and Jarvis Landry?
Well, Odell Beckham Jr. played injured all of last year, and we saw it. He would say that he couldn't go into that final gear. He couldn't explode. He had a core muscle injury. He had it repaired, and I'm told that he is as strong as ever. So I think that he comes in feeling much better than he did last year. And if you recall, he was injured even in the preseason, so we never really got a full picture of a healthy Odell Beckham Jr. Jarvis Landry played all season long, but he was dealing with a hip issue that really bothered him late in the year. He had that surgery. It's a more significant surgery than what OBJ had. But he was taken off the PUP list and working his way back in practice. And it does appear Jarvis Landry could be ready for week one.
All right. He is a tough dude. He's never missed the game. And I'm drinking the Kool-Aid here, Matthew. I'm in on both of these players again, especially Odell Beckham Jr. I was burned by him last year in a major way, like many were in the fantasy community. I've said on this podcast before, I think he's going to be a top eight wide receiver in fantasy this year.
You and I both have him ahead of the consensus ranks in terms of where he's going as wide receiver 13, yeah, I'm with you. Look, if again, wide receiver is so deep that I don't mind. It sounds weird to say taking a flyer on Odell Beckham Jr., but it sort of is, right?
Because yeah, of course it is.
Yeah, like your draft, he's going in the third round, or fourth round actually. He's going right in the fourth round on ESPN. As well, you know, so honestly, like again, if you swing and miss with Beckham, there's a lot of depth to be able to fill in there, and so. I'm with you. I'm in on the Cleveland Browns offense as a whole being sort of post-hype sleepers, that we were all on them last year. They all burned us, and everyone's just like, whatever, on to the new thing. Whereas I think Kevin Stefanski brings a level of professionalism there to that offense and, you know, obviously a successful NFL resume in terms of offense. And obviously they've improved their offensive line. So yes, on Odell Beckham Jr. And Jarvis Landry is always underrated in fantasy.
Agreed on that. He just finds a way to be a player that you have in your lineup every single week, even if he is not the number one wide receiver on your roster. Houston overhauled their wide receiver group this offseason, Stefania, with the trade away of DeAndre Hopkins and the trade for Brandon Cooks. Both he and Will Fuller, though, what are your outlooks for them as it pertains to their health?
Let's start with Brandon Cooks, who comes into the season healthy. I think there was some concern really from people viewing from the outside about the fact that he had multiple concussions within a relatively short span. But he made it very clear that he is comfortable with where he is, that he has zero concern about his concussion history, that he's worked with specialists and the medical staff he worked with at the Rams, and he's very comfortable with where he is. So I think we should take that at face value, and I'm comfortable with Brandon Cooks as far as his health goes to start the year. As far as Will Fuller, look, the soft tissue injury history is well documented, and last year he missed multiple games with a hamstring issue that kept recurring throughout the season, as they often can. Amazing talent when he's on the field, has fantastic weeks, but you'll wonder from week to week whether he'll line up. He took it to heart. He underwent a different sort of training program coming into this season. He knows that there's a tag on him of not being able to stay healthy. And I appreciate all the things he did, but with Bill O'Brien saying he was on a unique ramp up period coming into the season, like everyone's trying to protect him. And given his history, I just think you have to consider that there will be risk involved. Regardless of all the efforts he's making to stay healthier, until he proves he can handle 16 games, we have to be a little bit suspicious.
Okay, so not exactly a clean bell of health there for Will Fuller the fifth. Matthew, I think we all recognize that where they're being drafted right now, players in like the 10th round, Will Fuller and Brandon Cooks, or later, represents value, obviously. But I think what I'm wondering is it possible that both of them can be fantasy relevant this year?
1,000%.
Okay. I was going to say, if it's one or the other, who are you hedging your bets on? But you think both have a chance to be fantasy relevant this season?
I absolutely do. We've seen the Texans offense support two fantasy relevant wide receivers. Now, it hasn't been consistent, but in the games in which Hopkins and Fuller both played, we've seen both guys be good.
Right.
It's still going to be a very good, as long as Deshaun Watson's under center, it's going to be a good offense. And I understand that Bill O'Brien gets a lot of criticism sometimes for his role as a general manager, But the guy's a good play caller. Like, he's had good offenses. Like, he has. Right? Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Can we quit the Bill O'Brien GM jokes on Twitter?
They're not fun.
No, I'm not. This is a PSA to everybody else. They're not that funny anymore. Like, everybody's giving us 30 different versions. They're not that funny.
There you go.
They just aren't.
100%. And regardless of whether you agree or disagree with what he has done personnel-wise, the fact is that he's always had one of the better offenses in the NFL since he's been a head coach of the Houston Texans. It helps when Deshaun Watson is under center for you.
Right.
But so, yes, I mean, Brandon, we have seen Will Fuller be fantasy relevant and a superstar when healthy. We've seen Brandon Cooks. People are so out on Brandon Cooks because last year was such a disaster. But he had four straight 1,000-yard seasons
prior to
that year. He's 26, and it's been some weird circumstances with his career bouncing around from team to team. And I think because of that, people don't think he's a talented player. He's a talented player.
Right.
So given, again, same thing. The risk is baked into their ADP.
Yeah.
So, you know, these are guys all going, like, basically in the 10th round or later. So, yeah, I like both those guys, honestly. I think both are values this year.
Yeah, I agree on that one. I'm not so sure there's as much value in this next wide receiver duo. But, Stefania, let's get the injury insight first on Jalen Reagor and Alshon Jeffrey of the Philadelphia Eagles.
I'm laughing, by the way, Stefania. Yeah, I have to interrupt you. I'm sorry. I'm just laughing because I would just like to mark, I believe, this is the 17th consecutive season Stefania has given a preseason report on Alshon Jeffrey. So I just wanted to mark that occasion right now. I believe it is the 17th consecutive year. Well done. Nice
Even
job.
Even before he was playing football, I was talking about him.
Yes.
Yes. Well, interestingly, Jalen Reagor was one of the rookies who really had a path to a fair amount of utilization out of the gate, given the fact that Marquise Goodwin opted out for the season and that Alshon Jeffrey is coming off that Lisfranc surgery. There's a question about whether Alshon would be placed on the physically unable to perform list to start the season. But right now, I will say that there's some rumblings that Alshon Jeffrey could be available for the team in September. Now, that doesn't mean week one, but it does mean that he might not stay on the PUP list with the goal of potentially coming off. To me, this feels a little bit like what we're talking about with Deebo Samuel, where even when he's available, he might have a slower start, given the fact that he's coming off fairly major surgery, again, to address a Lisfranc injury in his foot. As far as Jalen Reagor goes, looked great in practice, and like I said, was on a path to getting a start with a fair amount of work, and then suffered an injury where he tore the labrum in his shoulder. It's reportedly a small tear. He's been seen out at practice. They're calling him week to week, but it sounds like he will not be ready by week one.
All right, so potentially neither one of them on the field for week one, Matthew. Weird one here.
But Deshaun Jackson, currently healthy.
All right, that's a good sign.
I mean,
right,
you know, where's the value?
Where is the value in the Eagles wide receiver room?
I think it still might be with Reagor and Alshon Jeffrey. Mm-hmm. These guys are being undrafted
right
in fantasy leagues. And so they're going to play at some point. Doesn't sound like Rager's injury is as serious as people are considering it. Alshon Jeffrey is a red zone beast when he's out there on the field. We expect this to be one of the better offenses in the NFL. We expect Carson Wentz to be a top 12 fantasy quarterback, to be among the league leaders in passing attempts and passing touchdowns. Like, I just, you know, listen, it's one of the reasons, again, why Zach Ertz is always, you know, a huge part, and why people may be sleeping on Dallas Goedert a little bit, because with the injuries at the wide receiver position, they are going to target the tight ends even more. But yeah, I think if I had to place my chips onto one Philadelphia Eagles wide receiver, I think it's still going to be Reagor.
You know, what's interesting is I'm glad you brought up that last point about the tight ends, is that maybe the takeaway with all these wide receiver injuries is that it actually just means that they're going to have three rock stars on their fantasy lineup besides Carson Wentz, the two tight ends, and Miles. Maybe this just means Miles Sanders. I know that you're not out, but you're lower than the consensus on Miles Sanders.
Just maybe because of his ADP.
Yeah, the target just gets saturated to those three players. I'm having a hard time sizing up this Eagles wide receiver group. As much as I would like to think that one of them has value, Deshaun Jackson is hit or miss throughout his career. Jalen Reagor, we've never seen play. And Alshon Jeffrey he may be back in week one on a limited snap count, but he could be out by week three, right? So, even greater comfort in these non-wide receivers in Philadelphia.
Yeah, like I said, same thing. If I had to pick a flyer, I'm still taking Reagor because I think he has the most upside. But this may be a team, to your point, you just avoid, or you draft them in best ball leagues or in, you know, you use them in DFS.
Right. Fair enough. Shell knows that between every tee up, lay up, and batter up, that you can't wait to catch up with your favorite podcast. So come to Shell and get three things done at once. First, fill up with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus to help keep your engine running like new. Then save up with the Fuel Rewards program and never pay full price for gas again. And finally, snack up with in-store rewards to save even more at the pump. Oh, time to wrap it up. Make the most of the stop you need to make with Shell in engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium gasoline. See full conditions and terms at fuelrewards.com.
Guys, total male body grooming is essential nowadays. But a lot of you are hesitant to manscape. You're afraid you might cut yourself, which is understandable. That's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. The new Manscaped engineering team spent 18 months perfecting their greatest below-the-waist trimmer ever created, and they just released their new and improved Lawnmower 3.0. This third-generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to advanced skin-safe technology pioneered by Manscaped. The waterproof technology also allows you to groom in the shower. That is essential, if you ask me. One of the coolest features is the LED light, which illuminates grooming areas for a closer and more precise trim. They've also upgraded to a 7,000 RPM motor with quiet stroke technology. And let's not forget about the charging stand. This intelligently designed stand is a convenient charging dock powered by USB. I want you to experience this Manscaped new Lawnmower 3.0 firsthand for yourself with 20% off and free shipping when you use the code FFF at manscaped.com. Please use the code FFF. It lets them know that we sent them to you and that we are worried about your health. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code FFF only at manscaped.com.
All right, back to more injuries, and let's get to running backs and a couple of quarterbacks to close this out. Stefania, we begin with Kenyon Drake, who has been our best source of his own information on Twitter, right? He's been so good about keeping us up to date here. What do we know?
What we know from his Twitter feed is that the walking boot is no big deal and that he's going to lead everyone to fantasy championships. So right. My question to Stefania Bells, we head back to the Chateau de Cone, is Kenyon Drake telling us the truth?
It sounds like it. At least his coach seems to agree with him. I don't know about the fantasy part, but Cliff Kingsbury said on Tuesday that he was just about ready for all aspects of practice. And Kingsbury had downplayed it as well, saying it was just early training camp, nicks and bruises. And I remind people, again, it's kind of like when a guy gets carted off from practice. We hear that in training camp. Sometimes the cart is just a convenience to get you to the training room a little more quickly. The walking boot is a big, there's a wide range of possibilities when you're in a walking boot. Could be because you're trying to protect a fracture, which is serious. And sometimes it's just to offload the foot a little bit and give you some support, for lack of a better word, when you might be a little bit sore. So I don't put too much stock in that. I think the only thing that concerns me from a fantasy perspective is, can Kenyon Drake carry the workload that we saw in the second half of the season for a full 16 games?
All right. So this reminds me of what I think you said after David Montgomery was carted off practice. Sometimes things look worse because there's a cart involved where it may just be like, hey, he may be fine, but we don't want to risk anything. We want to get him from one place that's very far from where he actually needs to go. So Kenyon Drake.
Yeah, I mean, how long did it take you guys to get used to the cart coming to pick me up after the show, drive me around the ESPN campus, right? It took you a while. You're like, oh, God, what's going on with Matthew? And you realized, oh, no, he's just lazy.
Getting carted around.
Yeah, exactly. So I have, coming out on Thursday, my 10 list of 10 column, my annual 10 list of 10 column. And one of my lists is my chicken players. If you remember a couple years, of course, Jim Harbaugh famously said he doesn't eat chicken because it's a nervous bird.
Okay.
Right? And so...
also delicious.
It is delicious. I eat it all the time. Yeah. But in fairness, like, you'd be nervous too if you could be fried and fricasseed and eaten at any given moment.
Sure, so, I agree on understand. That part.
So, right, it's a nervous bird. So my chicken players. And so one of my chicken players this year is Kenyon Drake. I get all the arguments. He could be awesome. And I have him in a couple of keeper and dynasty leagues. So I'm going to have some Kenyon Drake this year. But in redraft leagues, I have no shares of Kenyon Drake because he just makes me a little bit nervous, right? So Stefania mentioned, can he be a workhorse running back for the entirety of the season, right? We've never seen it before.
Right.
He's never done it at Miami. He didn't do it at Alabama, right? He's never been the guy for a full season at any of his professional stops or even in college, okay? He has a very, very capable backup in Chase Edmonds, right? And so does Cliff Kingsbury want to use Chase Edmonds, you know, some more? Right? Like, so does he get in there? And oh, by the way, they've got a lot of weapons all of a sudden. Like, you know, assuming Hopkins and Kirk and Fitz are all out there, and Andy Isabella, does he finally get into the field? So there's a lot of mouths to feed in that Cardinals offense. And you get all that, and then you also think about where he's going. And in terms of where he's going in ADP, he's going right there with the Joe Mixons and Miles Sanders and Nick Chubbs and Aaron Jones and Josh Jacobs. And, you know, there's Austin Eckler. And so there are guys in that range that I feel more comfortable with, that I feel like have a higher floor. We've seen him be elite for basically like four games. Like if you look at it, if you sort of look at
within that eight week stretch,
he was really good for part of it, like amazing, like over 30 points,
right?
And then not so good. So
we've seen it a little bit more than that because he was good for stretches in Miami. But I understand the point you're making. You and I have him ranked just one slot apart. I'm RB12. You're RB13. So while I don't want to paint a dissimilar picture to our overall value for him, because we're only one spot apart.
Right.
I am more confident in Kenyon Drake. I do think there's something to be said for volume was very favorable, even when the efficiency wasn't great. And it's a better offense in general. I know he had that 4-touchdown game. You'd say, right, like, but I think touchdowns are more available this year because the offense in general is just better.
I would agree with all that. And I will fully cop to the fact that there's a very good chance that I look really, really stupid.
I get it.
I think it was my friend Smitty who said to me that he thought Kenyon Drake could be this year's Dalvin Cook. You know what I mean? That could be that guy that, like, we've seen the talent, we've seen it for flashes, and then he puts it together for a full season. And I buy that too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, I could be dead wrong on this one. I'm just saying, like, I'm not saying he's not talented. I'm not saying he's not going to have the premise of the chicken list isn't that these aren't guys that I'm, you know, that it's the quote unquote hate list.
Right.
This is just people that make me nervous.
That's fine. Yeah.
That I find myself when I'm in drafts and they're right there with another player of similar value. I find myself going to the other player.
Okay. Todd Gurley could be on this list, but let's get the injury insight from Stefania first. Todd Gurley, maybe the biggest question mark with injuries coming into the season. Stefania, what is the latest?
I think the thing I want to say to fantasy managers all about this Todd Gurley subject is, why would you think that anything would have changed just because he moved from Los Angeles to Atlanta? And by that, I mean the knee issue that Los Angeles has been basically monitoring and managing a workload for two seasons is the same knee. And I think they're going to do the same thing in Atlanta. If you look at what Dan Quinn has been saying, he said that every fifth day, Todd Gurley's been getting a rest in training camp, and they plan to continue it throughout the season. Even Dirk Cutter, when everybody got excited about the touches, that, you know, his touches could go up, he said that in the context of if the player remains healthy. So there's a lot of, as long as he stays healthy, if we don't overdo it. Dan Quinn did say he saw the speed there. They're very excited because they're seeing flashes of what we saw from Todd Gurley when he did have burst and he was explosive, but it doesn't appear to be a sustainable thing. This is really a load management exercise. If Atlanta can do it, then he's got great potential this year, but they have to avoid the temptation of using him too much just because he looks good.
Matthew, I mean, we've had this conversation, I don't know, 30 times. So given that we are in the midst of draft season, as I've said five times on this podcast, where are you targeting Todd Gurley? Or is he just off your draft board entirely?
I mean, I'm at 18, you know, slightly higher than you guys, but all of us are below consensus on Todd Gurley. And again, in that range, give me Chris Carson.
Yeah. You know what's funny about this one is that, like, there are other players where there have been injury concerns that we've known about for 6 months, right? So I'm trying to think of a good example of somebody that's coming off of an ACL or some sort of tear or some sort of major injury that, like, we've been monitoring their progress as we've gotten closer to the season. And I'm sorry, I don't have a good example of it. Maybe Deebo Samuel or something along those lines.
Right.
With Todd Gurley, nothing has changed since he got cut to right now, right? Like, yep. He has not become any healthier or any less healthy. So I've just put my mind into a pretzel thinking about whether he's worth it or not. So I think at some point, Matthew, you just have to state your case for Todd Gurley or against Todd Gurley and live with the consequences.
The pros here are that chip on his shoulder, you know, played college ball at Georgia, so he's back in his home state on a one year deal. This is a guy that was the greatest fantasy player, you know, in the universe there for a couple of seasons, totally. Not that long ago. The Falcons don't have a lot of competition in the backfield for Gurley, so the workload should be there as long as he can hold up, and the injury concerns are baked into the ADP. Again, this is a guy that was going as a first rounder for the last four or five seasons, and now he's going in the fourth round. So so that's all the argument for Todd Gurley. You know, again, I certainly don't mind him as your RB3. As your RB2, but in general, because he's going in the fourth round, and I've locked up, I generally have two running backs by the time I get to the fourth round.
Right.
I love the wide receivers in the fourth round. Like, I love the DK Metcalfs and the Tyler Lockett's and the Terry McLaurin's and the, you know.
Those guys are probably late in the fourth round.
Yeah,
later.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, the
Adam Thielens, the OBJs,
yeah,
that
they're
type
there
of player.
Too. Right, exactly.
So, all right,
Juju Smith-Schuster, right.
I feel like the Falcons are actually kind of a reasonable Leonard Fournette location. That's another conversation for a separate time. Chris Carson has missed a decent amount of training camps, Stefania, for personal reasons, but he is coming off of a major injury at the end of last year.
Yes, he had a hip fracture very late in the season last year, but it didn't require surgery, and he's had plenty of time to recover. You know, I think Chris Carson, there's a perception on him being injury-prone, a label I don't care to use very often, if at all. But I think his injuries, if you look at them, have really been of the one-and-done variety. Back in 2017, it was 4 weeks into the season, he broke his leg. Obviously, it was a season-ender, but not the kind of thing where you're going to have a recurring problem from it. This was a hip fracture. Again, a bit unusual, but a bony injury, heals well, should not be a problem for him going forward. So Chris Carson, healthy to start the season. I know Matthew loves him.
Yeah, I actually was surprised to find him. I thought he might be a ride-or-die candidate.
I love him. I talked about that. I thought about making him a ride-or-die, but then we talked about him. We're like, is it to make him a ride-or-die like three seasons into his career? Like, yeah. You know, like, he's been one of my guys. I probably should have. Am I allowed to?
No. You have to negotiate with Daniel Jones. Your actual ride or die.
He is my Daniel Jones is my fantasy ride or die, but he could be my running. I could do one per position.
You could.
Yeah.
Chris Carson is as close. I mean, Chris Carson is a career ride or die.
Okay.
Like, Chris Carson has made me look smart many years in a row, and he's going to make me look smart again this year.
All right, so let's move forward then to David Montgomery, who has a much more pertinent recent injury. Stefania, he left practice last week because of a groin issue. What is the latest?
Well, the latest is we're just waiting to see when he will recover by, but it sounds like he could miss the start of the season. This is one of those injuries that definitely makes me nervous as you go to start the year. If you saw the video of how he got hurt, he was basically taking a hand off and he went to plant and cut and his leg slipped out to the side and pulled his groin muscle, which is a very classic mechanism for these type of injuries. But if you think about how often you have to make that move as a running back, he could be on the brink of aggravating that at any point during the course of the year. And of course, guys are rushing to try and get back to start the season. He's going to want to be in there and not miss too much time. And it's very hard to test these in a foolproof way to say, oh, yes, you're 100% until you get back out on the field and test it. And then lo and behold, it's a toss-up as to whether you suffer a setback or not. So I'm concerned that this could actually impact him, not just in terms of lateral movement, but you get a lot of power, explosiveness going forward from the groin muscles. So I have a little bit more concern on Montgomery just going into the season because of having this injury so recently.
Really interesting there. So I haven't moved him yet down my rankings. You, me, Daniel, we're all lower than his ADP, which is running back 27 overall right now. Here's the reason why I haven't yet moved him down my ranks, Matthew, is that the Bears haven't made any moves subsequent to this David Montgomery injury. But if they make a Leonard Fournette signing, for example, or Devontae Freeman, or any of the available running backs right now, that to me will be an indicator that they themselves are quite nervous about not just the injury, but also just wanting to ease the workload a little bit when he is healthy. That's why I've held firm. You're lower, though, than me on Montgomery.
I am, because you add the injury concern to the fact that he has yet to prove anything. Like, we don't think this offense is going to be amazing. He wasn't good last year. The argument for David Montgomery is literally, like, lack of competition, you know, just is workload-based. right? But now if there's an injury concern, even if he comes back, do they lessen that workload, right? Because they don't want to rush him back. Like, I'm probably a little bit too low on him. I'm at running back 40 because I thought it looked like he was also going to miss some time. So maybe I'll come up a little bit more, but yeah, David Montgomery's another guy that I'm just not going to have a lot of shares of this year, because there's just too many concerns. And, you know, that running back 27 range, you know, in that eighth round, there's other guys that I like with more upside.
One quarterback of note, and it's a major one here, Stefania, is Cam Newton. Of course, the likely Patriots starting quarterback, still getting used to saying that one. How is he doing on that shoulder and foot and every other thing he's been dealing with recovery?
Yeah, so far so good. Like, I picked Cam to have a bounce back season last year based on how good his shoulder looked when I went to training camp. But then he injured his foot, and that was really the reason that he was kept out of the season. It was one of those things where he could never load that foot with confidence, and ultimately it required a surgical procedure. But it was a modified procedure, not as extensive as a full-blown Lisfranc surgery. And we saw the Instagram videos he was posting of his workouts. You're not doing those kind of things if your foot's still bothering you. So a healthy Cam Newton going into the season for the Patriots.
Matthew, I keep talking about it. One of the most enjoyable players to potentially roster this year, right? Because if it goes really well, he could be a league winner for you.
Going as QB 14th in the 14th round, it's so funny. Everyone talks about, like, who's this year's Lamar Jackson? We're talking about, could it be Kyler Murray? You know, could it be Josh Allen? Why can't it be Cam Newton? Mm. You know, I mean, again, like, he's been Lamar Jackson before Lamar Jackson,
right?
And now he's playing with a very creative, offensive-minded coach. Again, I always bring this up. People, well, he's not going to be Tom Brady. He doesn't need to be.
Right.
Like, again, Josh McDaniels coached Tim Tebow. Like, you know, like, think about what Jacoby Brissett did when Brady was suspended. Like,
right.
They will design this offense to take advantage of what Cam does well, and there's still a lot of skilled players there. Cam has a chance to be really special this year and a great value in fantasy.
Yeah, there's so many quarterbacks that, you know, we're not pounding the table harder than that for Cam Newton right now, because Daniel Jones is a player we really like, yeah. Matthew Stafford, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
Ben but if you wind up with Cam Newton as your starting quarterback going into the season, that's fine. That's totally acceptable. 16-team leagues. You can be patient this year with quarterbacks. Let's wrap up the show with some trivia. We pass it over to Daniel.
Yeah, that's right. Geico trivia question of the day. Debo Samuel rattled off 5 straight games with 12-plus fantasy points last season. There were 4 other wide receivers that had a longer such streak in 2019. Can you name any of those other 3 wide receivers?
So the reason why this is such a good question is that 12-plus points in 5 straight games is, like, totally viable for a lot of guys last year, right? So
yeah,
it's
right.
Like, there might be 20 players that we could come up with. All right, let's give it a shot, though. Again, we need to name 3 of 4 wide receivers that had 5 straight games with 12-plus fantasy points, Debo Samuel being another one there. There's going to be a couple curveballs, because I know that's how Kyle rules.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally.
Yeah.
It's not going to
be
obvious, super obvious at all. So I'm throwing major random curveballs in here.
I'll throw darts.
Okay, go ahead, Stefan. You go first.
What do you got?
As always.
I'm going to go with DeAndre Hopkins, okay. Michael Thomas, and Julian Edelman.
Okay. Matthew?
Okay. I guessed 4.
Me too.
Hoping that I get 3 of them. So I have Michael Thomas, Tyler Lockett, my little Cooper Kupp, and once again, Julian Edelman.
All right, so there was only one player that was named on every board. That was Michael Thomas, who I had, plus Adam Thielen, Jarvis Landry, and Julio Jones. Again, we are just guessing smorgasbords right here. So, final answer, Daniel, what do you got?
I just want you guys to know that I guessed DJ Moore, Michael Thomas, and Jarvis Landry.
Okay.
The correct answer is Michael Thomas.
Okay, we all got that one.
DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, Stefania.
Julian Edelman.
Oh.
Wow.
And DJ Moore.
Whoa.
You did not guess those 3 then. Did you really?
I did, yeah.
Wow.
Again.
I thought about Hopkins, but then I went away from it because there was like a stretch.
Wait.
There.
It was like, it's so obvious that it's DeAndre Hopkins that it can't be DeAndre Hopkins. Go ahead, Stefania.
Anyway, so I get 2 points.
Can you guys?
Stefania gets 3.
I get 3.
Yeah, you get 3.
And by the way, the question was, can you name 3? Yeah. I stuck to 3. I followed the directions, and I got 3. Yeah. You guys should just quit. Well, But, you know, before
no
I
surprise
share.
There.
Smart idea.
Smarty Pants Stefania gets extra credit. No
making
surprise
up for the lack
there.
Of quality in red zone, to be
yes,
fair.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
So, 100%. Know. She has not done well in red zone over the many, many years. Stefania's probably the one person on the planet who doesn't need a rotopass.com.
That's right.
Rotopass.com. Get your ESPN Plus. Get your football guys. RotoViz. Roster Watch. Warren Sharp. RotoWire. Use the promo code 06010 for 10% off. I'm telling you, it's the best thing ever.
For Matthew, I can confirm that. And Daniel and Stefania on field. We'll talk to you guys on Thursday. Until then,
peace out.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.